You have arrived at your destination.
Hey guys, who's the best mangaka?
Kira Toriyama.
It's a subjective question.
Yeah, very subjective question. I mean,
this sounds like one I might actually get right.
For this episode, I think we all know the answer to it.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
It's Goku.
It's Goku. It's the guy. It's the Goku man. Who made the Goku?
Super Saiyan guy.
Super Saiyan guy. It's Akira Toriyama, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
One of the most influential of all time, apart from maybe Osamu Tezuka. He's top tier.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what we're talking about, guys. We're talking the career of Akira Toriyama this week on Animation Destination. Destination podcast, an animation celebration podcast. I'm your host, resident cartoon junkie Brandon Jones. I'm here with John Meyer.
Hello, friends.
Stephen Barnes.
Chala. Hey, Chala.
And Mitch Harmon.
Yo.
Woo! The boys are back. It's all four of us.
I know.
We're here.
Crazy.
It's the first time since I think we were saying Star Wars Visions Season 2, I think.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, I think that's it. I think that was the last time we were all
here. That was crazy.
That was a year or two ago.
I know, right? It's nuts. Jeez. We'll have to do that.
Yeah, Mitch.
That was a year or two ago.
Sorry.
I mean, it is weird how, like, not cohesive our schedules are. And, like, so to find this one little slot somewhere.
Well, all three of you all are on day shift.
That's true.
You guys are getting up. I'm going to bed pretty much.
Yeah. And now you're available Wednesdays, but Steven's not available Wednesdays.
Actually, I'm not even available Wednesdays anymore. Oh, they got me back working 5 days a week now.
Oh, you're back to 5 days. Well, that's good.
Yeah, anyway. Still only 5 hour days, but still, you know.
Anyway. Anyway, but. For more insightful commentary of our work lives,
yeah.
Join the vlog, the Animation Destination vlog, where we
walk through our daily schedules.
You know what? We should probably do that. I don't know. But we are here to talk, guys, about the career of Akira Toriyama and all the great stuff that he created. As you know, he passed away earlier this month on May 7th, or May 1st, I apologize, announced about May 7th, I believe, is when it was.
March.
March 7th, sorry, I'm saying May, don't know why.
It's not
March,
even May.
March 1st, announced on March 7th, very sad passing, super influential manga creator, obviously. And we're going to go over all the things that he did. Every single tiny thing that he did, we're going to cover. We're probably going
to say there's probably a lot out there, to be honest.
We're probably going to miss a lot of stuff. But we're going to talk about all of our experiences with it, everything that we've enjoyed from his work and all that stuff. Before we get into it, guys, I want to get into our animation recommendation, which is the trailer for The Wild Robot.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, that looks so good.
It does look good.
It looks very, very good. I'm super stoked about it. After the surprise hit, the surprise quality, it wasn't as much of a hit because of, you know, no one goes to see movies anymore, with Puss in Boots: Last Wish. This is the first, like, DreamWorks movie that I'm, like, super excited for.
Yeah.
So it's been a long time. But, you know, like, they'll have these little hits every now and then. Mitchells vs. the Machines, I thought, was fantastic. I thought it was the best movie that year. Puss in Boots: Last Wish, best movie that year. The Mermaid movie, I didn't think was very good. But, like, whatever, the Kraken movie.
Oh, Teenage Kraken or something?
Yeah, Teenage Kraken.
No,
it's
not great.
They showed the whole movie in the trailer.
In the trailer. They showed the entire movie. That's why I was hoping there was, like, some secret thing that, like, didn't happen. Like, oh, the mermaid's not actually, like, something else happened. And nothing does.
I thought you were talking about that Disney movie that,
where
the, when they come out of the water, they're
Luca?
Luca. Oh, Luca, yeah,
I was like,
yeah.
Luca was good.
Yeah, Luca was good.
Luca was fine.
Teenage Kraken?
Not so much.
No, Teenage Kraken was not great. We got DreamWorks doing The Wild Robots. Go check out that trailer because it does look great.
Mm-hmm. Very Iron Giant-esque.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's a very loved book books.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah.
That's cool. Kids book. Is it just one book or I think it's like
one,
a yeah. series?
I think it's just one children's book. But yeah, that's a very loved one. The art style is very reminiscent of the illustrations in the book too.
Cool.
So yeah, I'm super excited for it. It looks great. So, and yeah, it's DreamWorks Animation coming back for more. Go check it out.
Hmm.
Toon News. We've got Kung Fu Panda 4 trailer. We've got Inside Out 2 trailer. We've got Dandadan anime trailer.
Yeah,
that's coming out. Dandadan looks very interesting. Dandadan is a it's in that Jump project with like Spy Family and Chainsaw Man came from.
That's oh,
the online
okay.
one, the online one. But it's basically like aliens and ghosts. Like, what if they were both real? And so you have like the
so it's just it's trolls,
yeah. Troll hunters,
yeah. Troll hunters, yeah, yeah. Too. But it's basic, yeah, basically that. But it's like there's one kid who's like a ghost, who's
believer.
Like a ghost believer, and one kid who's like an alien believer. It's like no, it's definitely ghosts. No, aliens definitely did this, and it's both. So like everything's like
okay.
So like they're like literally ghosts and aliens are like clashing. Like in this town, so like they have to deal with that. So
it's fun to say.
It's crazy.
Don to Don.
Don to Don. Yeah.
Don to Don.
Yeah, an extra Don in there.
Don to Don. Don to Don.
All the Dons in there.
Don to
Don.
Don
to
Don. Don to Don.
D A N D A D A N.
I just think of
da
Don.
Don to Don
from One Piece.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To Don.
I never think of anything.
Unrelated.
Yeah, you don't know because you haven't watched it yet.
Steve was like, I didn't think of that.
Yeah,
I didn't
come to mind at all.
But
I thought of Cowboys versus Aliens, personally.
That's a good one. That's a good one. That's a good one.
Harrison Ford's best.
Right. But, guys, let's dip into it, shall we? Let's jump in to our episode about Akira Toriyama. What, guys, what was your we'll start with John over here. John, what was your first experience with Akira Toriyama? Any of his works, anything like that he's done?
I shared this on Facebook, but it was mid 90s. I was 12 years old, give or take around that time frame. And I came home from church and just stumbled upon it just channel surfing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in the middle of the Raditz the fight.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember thinking, like, I haven't seen anything like this before in my life.
What is this?
What is happening here? You know? And it was just, it just dragged me in so much to a point where, you know, at that point we had the bad dub.
Mm-hmm.
At that point,
yeah, the ocean dub,
the ocean,
not the worst dub.
It wasn't horrible.
It's not the worst.
Well,
dub.
Well, that's true. That's
the
true.
Worst dub is the big green dub.
Yeah, the big green.
That's way back in the. That's way over there. Yeah.
And you know, Vegeta had this really high pitched voice.
Brian Drummond, the better Vegeta, my opinion.
Right.
So,
and you know, it went all the way up to you know that Vegeta fight, and then it ended, and then it started back over. And
right.
I remember, like, every Sunday afternoon, that's what I ended up doing. It was on Channel 21, which I think was WB.
It was WB at the time. Before it was called WB, it was just like,
it was just like
Channel
something,
21
whatever.
Something. Yeah.
And I just remember, like, being completely sucked in and drawn into the, like, not only the characters, but like the Z fighters coming together and like this fear and anticipation of the Saiyans showing up and the unknown of like what's going to happen and like Goku like being dead and like trying to get back and like he finally gets, I mean, just like all of it, like the suspense of it was something that I'd never experienced before in
totally different
in the cartoons that, you know, I grew up on with, like, you know, He-Man and G.I. Joes and things like that. It was like episode of the week.
Right, yeah.
At that point.
Oh, yeah,
absolutely.
And so this story just really drew me in. But, like, what are the weird things about it is, like, I look back at it now, and it's, like, completely shaped the way that I fanboy out on things, way that I judge shows is based on tropes from Dragon Ball Z.
Right, yeah.
And, you know, like whenever there's that anti-hero, it's like, oh, that's a Vegeta trope.
You know? Oh, hero becomes friend?
Yeah.
Vegeta.
Yeah, that's exactly, Piccolo. Exactly.
Everyone says Vegeta, but Piccolo was the first one that did that.
But, like, yeah. I have friends now that I wouldn't be friends with if it wasn't because...
of Dragon Ball.
We both liked Dragon Ball Z, you know? And it was like watching it with Henry, like sharing this with my kids and like their love for anime and manga now.
Yeah.
And like this, it just like completely changed my life.
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
in this absolutely. Weird, really like very transcendent way.
Yeah.
And for it to be just like, there's just this cartoon that just came on Sunday afternoons.
Yep.
And like, no, like this, like his... completely changed my life.
And you're not alone in that.
Yeah.
Because like nothing was like, because again, there were obviously, there's actually been anime on television. Yeah, we know. It's like, okay, like anime has been crossed over for a long time. My first experience with anime was probably Robotech.
Robotech,
stuff like that. Voltron, obviously.
Shows that I had watched.
Right.
But this was the one that was like, what is happening?
A shonen type of idea was not a thing before. We've had mecha anime. We had, you know, there was the, like, back in the, way back in the day before color TVs were a thing, Astro Boy, Gigantor.
Astro Boy, yeah.
Gigantor, Prince Planet. Like, these old, they came over as well. Like, yes, anime was a thing. It didn't blow up here until Dragon Ball.
Right,
Dragon Ball was the one brought it all
and
over.
And this was kind of like the influential years of my life. Like that was around the time when, you know, Infinity Saga dropped in the comics. And like that was when I got into comics, you know? And so it was like that was this big chunk of my life that really blew up.
Absolutely.
You know?
100%. And my first experience was not with Dragon Ball, but I will tell my first experience with Dragon Ball, same as you, Channel 21, on the cable, and it was that run, you know, where we got all the way up to Jace versus Berger and then reverted back to Raditz, and it did that for years and years and years, and Cartoon Network finally picked up the rest. But you know what the first episode of Dragon Ball I ever saw was? It was Vegeta and Nappa on the Bug Planet.
Oh!
I had no idea what was going on.
When they're just, like, murdering everybody.
Well, they're, like, saving the planet and stuff, and just like, oh, you've saved our planet. You've killed the evil tyrant. And they just blow the planet up at the end. It's just like, what? Like, I'm sitting here watching, like, what is happening? And it's like,
that's fantastic.
And the narrator's like, they're heading to Earth next. I'm like, well, I gotta see what happens next. Like, this is insane. So that was the first episode of Dragon Ball I ever saw, which is fun. I know,
orange and green.
The weird orange and green armor that he had, and brown hair.
It was kind of like
very light brown hair. Very light brown hair. We've got some comments from the Facebook page about their first experiences with the Toriyama work. Corey Watkins said, I was young, like 5, but the core memory is that of just seeing Krillin. Was a turning point in my life. I was just interested in him. Nothing looked like him in cartoons I was used to. I didn't even know what I was looking at.
Kind of a compliment.
That's like, Krillin.
Like, how to mark the differences between him and, say, Cat Dog. But he looked better. He looked like he was from something more interesting, a more interesting world. The shows I was watching. He was a funny little dude. I wanted to watch whatever show it was on, and that led me to DBZ anime and the number of connections I would have with friends moving forward.
And then you learned a lot of cooler characters.
No, Krillin's awesome.
To be fair, there
are cooler characters than Krillin, but Krillin's awesome.
Oh, Krillin is awesome.
To add to Corey's comment there, he is right, because if you look at a lot of shonen, but if you just look at a lot of anime, they all are kind of drawn similar, with that similar jawline, kind of really similar hair.
Right.
Krillin definitely is. I mean, it's the short, bald, no nose.
Very round.
He's got the three or the six dots on his head. Like, he definitely stands out as far as character designs out there. So.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Very unique in all of anime, whereas, like I said,
just because he's the only one that doesn't have spiky hair.
I'm not even talking about
Saiyan spiky hair. I'm just talking about in anime, everyone has spiky hair.
It's true.
Krillin's like,
He's got nothing.
No nose.
Yeah. He had spiky hair for a little bit.
Yeah. It was more like a bowl cut.
Didn't he?
Yeah.
Well, he had, it was kind of combed over the side. He had a couple of spikes pop out.
Yeah, it all came over to the...
No, he had some spikes come out.
I thought it was all split down the middle. And it was like a bowl cut.
Maybe that was Gohan.
Yeah. Gohan had the bowl cut.
No, Gohan
definitely had the bowl cut.
He's a little, but when he got older, he's got the spiky hair now. You know? He's like Goku with shorts, you know, more of a spearhead.
Mitch, what was your first experience with a Toriyama work?
I mean, I'm sure it's all of ours, is Dragon Ball. I don't know if
it
was...
It's not mine, actually. I need to get that.
Forgot about it. All
right, so the Boo Saga. All right, fair enough.
That's what I'm talking about. Boo Saga.
But you are right. You're all right. It's a little spiky.
Boo Saga.
But no, it was... I don't know. I can't sit here and say that it was Channel 21. I'm not really sure what it was. But
yeah,
it was the Namek Saga. I know that for a fact.
Right.
I was like, why is the sky green? And like, why is the ocean green? What's going on here?
Trees are blue.
And and everything. And who's all these green people? Mm-hmm. But I remember watching as a kid. I was like, all right, because I was really just like John, really interested in like what is going on here? Why are they shooting light out of their hands? What is all this? Mm-hmm. And so I was like, I'm going to start at the beginning. And I started at Raditz.
Which is totally the beginning.
It is, of Dragon Ball Z. Yeah. And I'm like, all right, so I'm going to figure out why people don't like Piccolo.
Yeah.
And I'm going to hear about why Tien Shin Han was like, he beat Goku and all this. I'm like,
what's with his third eye?
Yeah. And to be fair, if you watch Dragon Ball, they don't really address it either.
They don't address the third eye there. Yeah.
But I just thought I was going to get a lot of backstory. And it was like, and so for years, I was just like, am I crazy? Or like,
is there more there?
Is there more? And then, you know, years later, I find out there's Dragon Ball and there's this whole storyline prior to all the Z stuff.
It was very instantaneous for anybody that like has like any kind of like literacy of media of just like, okay, so these guys know each other. We've never seen these characters. This is episode one.
Yeah.
But this green guy has had beef with this dude.
Yeah.
And like, something's going on. Well, like, there's things going on
and y'all
that we haven't experienced yet.
And so, you young listeners out there, you got to remember, like, at this time of our lives, we didn't have the internet.
There's no internet there.
Exactly.
No. Yeah.
We didn't have the ability to look up,
when we
like,
did get the internet,
what is with Piccolo? Why is Piccolo hate Goku?
Yeah.
We didn't have that.
I remember one time, I think it was like late middle school, early high school, but I finally found like a transcript of like everything that happened in Dragon Ball, Dragon Ball Z, and Dragon Ball GT.
Yeah,
yeah.
And so I just kind of read it all, and it was just it's not the same because you can go down on the internet and just look
stuff
up.
I remember that, because you printed it out
printed
and you
it brought out. It to school,
and then we all read it. Yes. I forgot about that.
I know. It was like a packet.
That is thick. So
yeah, it was
thick. And it was like, all right, so I need a week to read this, and then we pass it around.
Yes,
I forgot about that.
That was how we got our lore, I guess you could say, back in the day.
I forgot about that.
I know, dude.
That is fabulous.
Well, I also had a Dragon Ball folder, which I had. I had a whole bunch of cards and toys.
Yep.
And so I saved all the cards on the toys. Mm-hmm. I was a bad collector. I opened up my toys.
Of course.
But I kept the cards.
You're a good collector.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. I appreciate that. I don't know. It's like, what are they doing just sitting in the box?
Yeah.
But I kept all the cards. So I put them all in the binder, had all my cards in there, had that packet in there. I mean, like, it was my Dragon Ball folder. I love that thing. But it was just, you didn't really have the internet to be able to refer to what happened and all this. But I think that actually gives a testament to the actual story. The fact that we were all kind of dropped, we weren't introduced to this in a normal fashion. We were dropped in the middle of the story.
Yeah.
And we were all like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
So like, normally when you get dropped in a story, you're like, I don't know what's going on. I can't really vibe with this, but whether you're on the alien planet, in the middle of the Raditz saga, or even on the Namek saga, like there's something that's interesting enough that we all want to see more of.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
Dragon Ball is, like John said, life changing. I agree with that statement.
There's something that grabs onto that boy adventure, that young lad adventure that just grabs you. And I haven't stopped since. I'm a show bro to this day. 40 years old, still watch a show.
Yeah.
Steven, what was your first one?
Well, I mean, Dragon Ball Z is obviously the one, right?
Yeah.
I think the thing about Dragon Ball Z that was so great as a kid and still to this day, but Dragon Ball Z was like one of the first like bigger mainstream anime, right? And and you could find a connection with the other people that dug it in your for us, it was like just school, which,
yeah,
you know, we didn't go to a very big school, so it was just like a small circle of people, but you find that connection with them.
Yeah, that's what it was for us, too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like Mitch said, we had that packet I completely forgot about. I remember his folder. Awesome. I had tons of cards and stuff, too.
I wish you still had that. That would have been amazing.
I'll have to look, but maybe it's in my mind. I feel so like cool I still have those cards somewhere, if anything. But
definitely pick those up. But yeah.
But yeah, I think the first was probably the Raditz. I think I feel like it was like right when they killed Piccolo, killed through.
Yeah.
Like, what is this?
The main character anything. Just died.
Yeah. And then of course, like y'all said, like you just watch it all the way up until the Ginyu stuff pisses you off so much.
Because even for anime, it was different because like Shonen was like this dude created Shonen. Like what Shonen is, Shonen for the time was very much like Fist of the North Star. It was very much very like huge. Gigantic like heroes that were like manly men, men in tights. They were like Arnold Schwarzenegger's or very much like
1980s action heroes.
Your action manga,
Schwarzenegger,
action
Stallone,
anime. Yeah,
Jean-Claude Van Damme.
That was your fight animes. Was like that. Everybody looked like Bruce Lee. They were cut at lines everywhere. They throw 1,000 punches. This was the first one that was like. A cartoonish little boy like was created for this to like be a fighter and
very
stuff.
Soft lines. A lot of comedy. That's the thing about
tons of comedy.
I think that sets apart a lot of modern anime from like the early 80s in anime is the fact that it's comedy is woven into the actual story.
It's half a gag manga.
But that's why I like things like Demon Slayer. Mm-hmm. Because they incorporate that, like what my kids call anime face.
Where it's kind of like
right in the middle. Where they do it in Avatar a lot too.
Yeah, yeah.
Where it's just kind of like right in the middle. It's just like wow.
Wish I could see John's face.
but you know what I'm talking about, and these people know what I'm talking about too.
Yeah.
And like that was what really stood out because it turned something like very serious into kind of cartoony at the same time.
Yeah, as you said, those influences like that came across into modern shows. Teen Titans was big on
for sure
for doing like the chibi faces and doing like stuff like
where you
that.
You get like the little X's next to the head.
Veins and stuff. Yeah, it was very influential. Which is apparently a very rude gesture.
Yeah, that's the pulling down the middle finger, but we didn't
get that.
I don't see how that's vulgar, but then again, you know, saying bloody over in England is a swear word for them. Right. So I guess each nation.
This is a PG podcast, man.
Sorry. Those English listeners are really
thinking about our cross the pond listeners.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's crazy how many people like of course like Dragon Ball is a lot of people's first experience.
Yeah.
My first experience with of knowing Akira Toriyama was definitely Dragon Ball. But my first experience with his work was actually Dragon Warrior on NES, which was the Dragon Quest name. It was the name of Dragon Quest when it was brought
over. It's
like
here. I know Dragon Quest.
Exactly. But, yeah. but it was Dragon Warrior and the booklet did not have Akira Toriyama's art in it. Hmm. It was reworked as more painterly style medieval style stuff. But all the sprites they were based off of Akira Toriyama's work. So my first real experience with it that I can remember is the first combat stance with a slime, the little tiny slime with his big eyes and his big mouth, and that battle music. And my freaking 5-year-old brain was like, nope, not doing this, and got behind the couch and was like, what is going on?
This is really scary.
This creepy little like creature with and it's a big smile like on the screen, and that music, and I was just like, nope, I don't know what this is. I don't know what's happening. Because I never
experienced your solutions to hide and not turn the game off.
As my brother was playing. So I thought you were playing,
you're like, nope, you dropped the controller and just walk away.
Brandon sitting behind the couch like, I cannot...
I can't do this. Mom,
come in here.
I can't turn it off. I can't stop looking.
I can't go in here. But the music was like terrifying to me. And that little sprite, the slime, is like the giant mascot of Dragon Quest.
Oh, yeah.
It's an adorable little slime guy. It's adorable. It's a little poo bag that's like right there. And he's adorable. But like as a kid, seeing that sprite is like, and that's my first experience with the work of Akira Toriyama, which was that little thing. So
Oh my gosh, he's adorable.
Yeah, right? Oh, they're terrifying.
To be fair, put him in a pixel form. Yeah, that's it. But put him in a pixel form probably is a little terrifying.
Yeah, the first little pixel of him and like that music and like and
what's wrong, Brandon? Hello. Come play the game.
With us.
No.
It does have that 1,000-yard stare, so it is a little terrifying.
But all those sprites were based off of his work while he was working on Dragon Ball, by the way. He was working on that and was commissioned to do the work for that. He famously did Chrono Trigger as well. Mm. He worked on many.
I guess it was his first thing that kind of put him on the map. But he had been working on Dr. Slump for while he was working on Dragon Ball. And
Dr. Slump was his first success, absolutely. which let's get into his career, shall we?
Yeah.
The career of Akira. I will get back to the other comments from Facebook users as we go along, just because, you know, there was a lot. I was super happy with the engagement for that, but I want to just read them out as we move along. But let's get into his early career when he basically lost his job at the age of 20 and was like, I'm going to start writing manga. And he saw a little one of the manga things. I think it wasn't Shonen Jump. It was Shogakukan manga awards, and like they would like basically take submissions, and the alignment wasn't there for him to submit to that one, but every month Shonen Jump took in work. Every month. Sorry, it was Kodansha. That was Kodansha Weekly. That was the one that he was going to. But Weekly Shonen Jump took it every month, so he just started submitting stuff to that. And there's a giant manga called Akira Toriyama's Manga Theater that encapsulates
it's a bunch of his one shots.
It's all his one shots that he basically submitted to this thing.
That's neat.
And like it's all prototype work for Dragon Ball. Like it's pretty crazy. Like it really is. Like there's one character who looks exact, it's just Yamcha. Like it's literally Yamcha. There's one called The Adventures of Tong Pu, and it's a little Chinese boy, and he's like invincible, and he looks exactly like Goku. Not quite the hair yet, but he's like a little Goku. He's the same little body shape, and he's got a partner who's basically Bulma. Like it looks
so
exactly
he already
like
had the seeds.
It was already there, and you know he was just doing this idea.
Dragon Ball was just a refined.
It was
a
refinement of it because you had a Yamcha one. There was a there was one called Pink that was basically Launch. She would like turn from like an adult to like a child every now and then. So like he took that idea and
she even kept the change.
Yeah, right. The changing thing going on. Yeah. But so like she would sneeze and go insane rather than, you know, like turn into a little girl. So
and completely disappear.
And then completely disappear because he forgot that character existed.
He brought her back in Super.
As Toriyama is one to do.
Like a time episode or two.
Yeah. That, I mean, that's because
everybody was like, where was she?
Everybody be quiet.
What happened to her?
Yeah. Like everybody.
She wasn't a huge part of Dragon Ball either.
She was.
She never had a chance to become one.
She was just, you know, there.
She was a huge part of the.
She was part of the crew for a long time.
I mean,
and
she
then
definitely. Like even in the Piccolo saga, like they're all hanging out at the Kami House.
Yeah.
There she is.
Yeah.
And she's not good launch. She's like, I got an Uzi launch.
Right.
So.
Yeah. And then, but then she just disappeared. We never saw her. We never saw her till the.
Well, she got caught.
Yeah.
It was. So,
she had to
serve, she had to go serve some time, you know?
Right, yeah. But, she showed back up for Killing Boo. That was like, she gave gave some life force for that. And there's apparently a cut thing that I didn't know about where she was in the bar while they were fighting the Saiyans. I didn't know that was a thing.
No.
Yeah.
100%. No, I'm 100%. Going back. I don't believe it.
It's not in the American version because we didn't know who that character was. And she's also drinking, so we didn't get that scene. Mm. But in Kai, they re-upped it, it's in Kai. So,
wait a minute.
Yeah.
Hold on.
They took all that kind of stuff out of Kai, though. Huh?
Well, they might not have been in Kai, but there was a re-release that had that scene in it. But she's like literally like in the bar, like, well, world's
gonna
end. I have
all the uncut episodes of Dragon Ball Z on DVD.
We'll pull it up after
and
the anime. We'll pull up after
that. Did not happen.
I thought she was in the beginning of Z, though.
She wasn't. She's not in the beginning.
This
of
is
Z.
An animation
she
challenge,
wasn't
folks.
In Z at all. until
you're making fun of me and Mitch, but actually, and now you're I will pull up the scene when we get done with this podcast. But anyway.
Don't give me your internet garbage, Brandon.
This is AI. It's like, you animated this and brought it to school. Yeah. Like, that's not real. You drew that and brought it to school. Anyway. after all these submissions, every one of them was like, nope. And he did have one that kind of hit a pretty good. It was when he did Wonder Island and Wonder Island 2, which was kind of a big flop. Nobody really liked it, and he was just kind of like, eh, maybe I shouldn't be doing this manga thing. Nobody seems to like what I'm doing. And then one of the editors was like, maybe try like doing like maybe try a girl protagonist. So he did something called Tomato, the Cutesy Gumshoe, and that was one, and it showed a little bit of promise. Like, it got some, like, oh, some requests, like, oh, that was good, I liked that. And so he was like, all right, so a little bit of success from that one. So that's when he led into another female-created character in Dr. Slump with Arale. So Dr. Slump was his biggest hit to date. It ran from 1980 to 1984, so 4 years of publication, so it was... Yeah, it was a gag manga. It influenced all the comedy that would later come with Dragon Ball and stuff like that. But yeah, it's about a crazy doctor who invents an android girl who's like super strong and can't be beat, and is just like, it's got a lot of poop humor.
Yeah. Okay.
The introduction to this character.
You caught John with that.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, all right. I can give you that. You had me in poop humor.
The introduction to this character for most people didn't come until Dragon Ball Super.
Okay. I want to tag on that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because my first introduction to Arale.
Yeah.
Was actually a phone game.
Oh, okay.
Dragon Ball Legends.
Okay, huh. Gotcha.
She actually became a character where you could play through levels and gain her as a character to put on your team.
Okay, nice.
And I was like, who is this
who
thing?
Who is this little
I don't. I've never even seen this thing.
Right? Yeah.
And I've watched all of Dragon Ball.
I have the uncut and DVD at home.
She doesn't exist in Dragon Ball.
And then she popped up on Super, and I'm like... There's that little girl
Wait,
again. Who is this?
Who told her?
I don't think she's it. They brought her from the video game, I bet.
That's fantastic.
And it's what's funny, you said Dr. Slump, and I'm like, oh, what's Dr. Slump? And I typed it in my phone. I'm like, I'm today old.
Well,
I found
John,
out that,
if you had watched Dragon Ball, she's actually in a few episodes of Dragon Ball.
She is in a few episodes of Dragon Ball, but that's before we ever got really. Some people did get introduced to her in Dragon Ball, but a lot of people who.
Oh, I didn't watch Dragon Ball. Right. I didn't watch that until my mid 20s.
That's what I'm saying.
We actually had access to
it. We had
internet and everything. So.
We had access to that before Dragon Ball Super, at least, where she came the Vegeta episode where she beats up Vegeta because she's a gag manga character.
Yeah.
You can't beat her. that's how it works. You can't beat comedy characters. So it's why
I couldn't go backwards after Dragon Ball Z.
It's why
I can't go back. I can never
go back.
Have you ever watched Dragon Ball? Have you ever watched?
I've watched it. I mean, but it was just kind of like.
Yeah.
Well, because
you're kind of checking in. To be fair, there's a lot of moments in Dragon Ball 2. They're just kind of walking around.
I watched all the world tournaments.
I do adore Dragon Ball, though.
You didn't watch it all the way through?
Yeah, I was.
You haven't checked out all the great moments in Dragon Ball?
No, he just said he watched all the world tournaments.
I
did.
Listen,
watch all the great moments.
I'm in the Piccolo Daimo saga, and there's a lot of amazing moments in that. Thank you very much. So,
I'm a big fan of the Red Ribbon Army saga.
Yeah,
personally.
Red Ribbon's
I
great
love
too.
Red Ribbon, so there's a lot of fun stuff going on that. But Dragon Ball's great.
I know who the first android was. It's Frankenstein.
I got that. All right. Frankenstein.
He was Frankenstein.
It is.
He was 100% Frankenstein.
His name is 8, but
his
whatever.
Name is 8.
But he's actually number 1.
But he's 100% Frankenstein.
Number 8 by name, number 1 in your hearts.
Oh my god,
I need that now.
Dr. Slump was a big success. It ran for 4 years in the manga. Huge success, sold thousands and thousands of copies, and got an anime. His first anime adaptation was Dr. Slump, which aired 1981 to 1986.
I didn't know they had an anime.
Wow.
243 episodes.
Holy smokes.
Yeah. Dang. 243 half hours of this show. So, yeah, there's a lot.
Is that on Crunchyroll?
Is that accessible anywhere?
I actually don't know if anyone's actually licensed this or not.
Probably
or whether it's
not all that great.
It's
honest.
Again, it's.
I don't know. 234 episodes.
It's got to be halfway good.
Again,
right?
It's a gag manga, so it's all comedy. So, like, you know, it's not a fight anime, obviously. So, it's going to be just kind of goofy fun. I've watched many of the episodes. I haven't watched all 243 of them, obviously. But, you know, it's like, but it's got a great cast of characters, like, that come in and go out, and a lot of Dragon Ball, like adjacent characters. It's like, that outfit looks a lot like Bulma's outfit, and da-da-da-da-da. You know, it's like, you'll see those things pop up, and it's very interesting to watch. Again, like, I highly recommend it, just because, like, if you want to watch his work, you know, like, there's plenty of it out there for that one. So, there you go. So...
That's actually... just what you just said was really cool, because when you go and look at his artwork, like over all of these years, like going all the way back to the early 80s. And if you like, for me, like I didn't even know who this character was. For me, it was like, oh, I'm just seeing a guy that he sketched one day.
Right.
And I was like, those are Trunks' boots.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. Know? Yeah, it's like, just those things.
Yeah, see, like those like little things like that. Like
those little designs.
That little character detail. has one pant leg and is missing the other. That's what Bulma's first outfit was.
There's something really cool about his ability to design things was. Yeah. Because like his clothing was like always really unique. Mm-hmm. Like you never saw anything like that before, like on a character. I remember when, like again, the Broly movie, the second latest Dragon Ball movie, the one thing he designed in that whole movie were the coats that Goku and Vegeta wore. That's the only thing he designed.
Coats, yeah, the winter
those
coats
awesome
anymore?
Winter coats they had. That's the only thing he designed personally. Like, y'all draw these coats here. Use those sometimes. Like, all right, thanks. Cool. Yeah, we'll use those.
Which is really interesting because like Broly is dope in looking
he's great
in that iteration.
Oh, yeah, 100%. But it is definitely like his understudy's like look, you know what I mean? Like it's very much the way he draws, like that guy. Because if you'll know, like if I remember right, the guy, I forgot his name, but the guy who draws who draws Dragon Ball Super, he was the guy. Do you guys remember Super Saiyan 5 with the white hair?
Yeah. I remember
the
story.
You know, I remember this coming up on one of the earlier ones.
Yeah, exactly. But he drew that. That was his fan art that he drew that circulated, like, the rumors of Dragon Ball AF or something or something like that. Like, and people were going, we're going to get a new Dragon Ball season, and this is Super Saiyan 5. And it was all BS. It was just this guy drew a thing.
Trolling the internet.
Trolling the internet. And that guy now is drawing Dragon Ball, which is fantastic. So I absolutely love that stuff.
By the way, Dr. Slump, anybody interested, it's only available on Tubi as of right now.
Oh, but Tubi. Okay.
Yeah, you can go.
Tubi's
free.
Awesome. Yep, there it is. There it is. But yeah, Tubi, it's free. So go check out Tubi. Tubi's great. Like, it's got a lot of garbage on there, but there's like some hidden gems on Tubi that's like, oh.
Didn't we watch one of the...
Yeah, one of the anime, I think, was on Tubi.
Yeah, I think we watched
Akira. I think Akira. Toriyama.
Say it was right.
Akira, but yeah.
Akira! Put some respect on that name.
But, you know, we're talking about Akira.
If I say it like that, I gotta say it like that. Akira!
Akira!
That's how they say it in the movie.
Tetsuo!
Tetsuo!
But anyway.
Kaneda!
This is the Akira podcast.
They scream that a lot. Anyway, so that was a big success, and he was like kind of moving on to like, oh, they basically Shonen Jump was like, do you want to do something else? Like, because he was kind of winding down on that. So they asked him, like, do you want to do anything new? And he went back to something that he did earlier, which was the Tong Pu thing. And he was like, I kind of want to do something like that. Like, that's something I want to do. So he did a two-part pitch for a little manga called Dragon Boy. So a little two-parter that's basically the prototype of Dragon Ball, but it's way more Journey to the West. Like, okay. he looks like Goku. It's basically Goku. Doesn't quite have the hair exactly the way it is, but he's accompanying a priestess across to the West, just like Son Goku and Son Wukong in Journey to the West. So it's very close to that. And whereas this was just more like the foundations of it, but after some tweaking here and there, and he came up with Dragon Ball as it was in 1984, my birth year. I'm as old as Dragon Ball. I didn't even know that, because I didn't think the anime started until like, and then I didn't think about when the manga started. So yeah, it's but yeah, serialized from 1984 to 1995. So 159 million copies. Dragon Ball is sort of popular.
I mean, especially back in the 80s, that's impressive numbers too.
Yeah.
So
yeah, and it inspired tons of people. You know, people love Dragon Ball. I think every single one of my question, because it was basically like, what was the first thing you ever saw of Akira Toriyama? everybody's answer was Dragon Ball. It's like, yeah, like, yeah, it's 100%. Like, again, like, yeah, like, I chose, like, Dragon Quest, sure, but I didn't even see his actual work yet.
Yeah.
I just saw sprites based on his work. The first time I saw his work, I guess, might have been Chrono Trigger, maybe, when I saw the book of that, but because I think we actually got the look of Chrono Trigger in that book.
Yeah, I was going to say, I did have a couple friends who played Chrono Trigger, so maybe I saw that before Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah, but it's like, you don't burn that into your head.
No. Like, Dragon Ball's in the 90s, book, going to a comic book shop, like, seeing a manga.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very rare.
Very rare.
Now that's the majority of most comic shops.
There's shelves and sections. Yeah. Oh,
in my kids' school library.
Yeah.
There's a huge manga section.
Absolutely.
And I'm going, where were you? Why? What I need you most? Why was there none of that?
Yes. How dare you come to me now?
You know, how dare you? So good.
It's such a mainstream thing now, which is so awesome. It's amazing.
Yeah, I think it's great. Yeah.
It is great.
And Dragon Ball Z really led that.
Yeah.
You know?
It did.
Well, it did. Dragon Ball led it. It light the fire of this boom in America.
Yeah, at least. I can really say, like, there's a few anime that I think that can be stretched to the idea of, like, what influenced everything. Astro Boy, definitely. That was one of the first big ones that was influenced by Disney and then re-influenced Disney, you know, animation and stuff like that. You know, that was the big boom for a lot of things and the start of, like, oh, Japanimation. So that's the thing they're doing over there. Japan's making animations. You know, it's a thing, you know.
Yeah.
Like, and then there was that boom of, like, mecha anime that kind of made it
Voltron,
over here.
Voltron, Gundam,
Robotech, stuff like that got brought over here. And then the next one was Dragon Ball. Dragon Ball and Sailor Moon. Those were like the ones
Sailor Moon.
Yeah. They exploded. So good. They exploded the idea of anime over here. And nothing hit that until I'd say Cowboy Bebop. And that's when it became like, oh, there's a place for full on, like, television blocks of anime.
But you're saying like when Cowboy Bebop, I mean, that's like Cowboy Bebop, Yu.
Gundam
Big
Wing.
O.
Gundam Wing, Big O.
Gundam Wing. Yeah, yeah. All with that when Toonami hit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was the next chapter when it evolved from Channel 21 to when we were just catching an episode once a week.
Regular stuff.
Anime.
Yeah. Yes.
Every day.
Toonami became a thing, and Adult Swim.
Goosebumps talking about
that. Adult Swim became a thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's like just all that stuff. And Adult Swim was like a mind-blowing thing because they'd show you the censored version on Toonami, and then at midnight, they showed you the non-censored.
Like, shit.
There's other things happening at midnight. Oh my goodness. Like there's adult thing. Oh, it's crazy. So it's crazy though. But like Dragon Ball was like, that was one of the most influential ones.
For sure.
You can tell by all these people, as Steven Resnick explains, Dragon Ball was my first anime and I've been a fan since I was a kid. I have read messages from a lot of mangaka that said they were inspired by Toriyama. So I think the Dragon Ball series is the most impactful. I would absolutely agree with that. There's so many things were impacted by Dragon Ball itself. I'll never forget the first time Goku went Super Saiyan. I can hear that scene.
Yeah.
I can see that scene as a picture in my head and pictures of it. Thank you for all that you've done, brought to many people. May you rest in peace and have fun tell jokes to King Kai. And I'm like, that's a good little message. That's great.
That's cool.
Thank you, Steven, for messaging that out. And again, like Dragon Ball was the biggest one like that. And again, we didn't even get Dragon Ball. We got these, like Dragon Ball Z.
We got Chapter 2.
Which is still Dragon Ball in Japan. There's no differentiation between Z and
Well, and that's what's Dragon interesting, because I think it was probably the 2000s before I even realized that Dragon Ball Z was as old as it was.
Right. Yeah.
Like that it started in the 80s.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like,
when I started.
Wait, what?
1984.
That's insane.
Yeah, it's crazy how old it was.
How old it actually was.
And the thing is, we never got the thing. There were attempts to dub Dragon Ball over here well before Dragon Ball Z was ever a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Harmony Gold, which did Robotech, they had a pilot of like 3 episodes of Dragon Ball that they did full dubs. They even did a dub of the weird little movie, like TV special movie where they're the characters, but they're also like in a Japanese like fairy tale. So it's like they're different characters. Like Chao Tzu's like an emperor and Tien's his like guardian or something. It's like a different little like tale of Japanese lore that they just inserted Dragon Ball characters in. They also did that as well. So okay. There's like three episodes and that special of Harmony Gold of like Robotech voice actors like doing that.
Dragon...
And that got found a couple of years ago.
Dragon Ball or Dragon Ball Z?
Dragon Ball, right? Like original Dragon wow. Ball. Bulma and Goku meeting for the first time with the dragon, you know, finding the Dragon Balls, all that stuff. And that's available on YouTube right now. Because that someone found it and leaked it, and it's just so weird.
I love the internet.
And, yeah, right. Yeah. The internet's great, and also like all their names are changed. Like Goku is named Zero for some reason. It's just like,
and what's it called?
It's just Dragon Ball.
Why
just,
did they change
Harmony
the
Gold
name?
Dragon Ball? So if you do what's that?
Did they change the names because they didn't have a license?
No, just because like it was just that time of like, oh, people don't get Japanese names, so we got to name them something else. Like because they
Zero is better than Goku.
It's like because like I think Bulma's name like Britain. Or something. It's literally just like
now that one makes
like
sense.
Seriously,
like, Zero.
Yeah, but
that's different.
I mean, he's got a tail, so he's got to be like something. Whatever. So, I don't know. He's got to be a dog's name or something. Yeah, right. Yeah. I don't know what it is, but it's weird. But it's very interesting to watch just because it's like, oh, I know all these voices from like the Robotech dub, and it's like there are these characters. It's a lot of fun to watch because like, oh, we never got that. Like, we didn't get Dragon Ball until well after Dragon Ball Z. Like, got into after freaking you know. Mecha Frieza and stuff, so you know. But yeah, again, like Dragon Ball Z was so long ago. I remember two separate situations where, you know, I would experience like I only had a few friends who watched it on Channel 21 when we were like in middle school, right?
Yeah,
like around middle school is like, oh yeah, like that weird show that
yep.
Yeah, that Dragon Ball show. That show is cool, DBZ, and you know we'd watch that. And we talk about it, and we talk about how they didn't like. There's got to be more, right? It's like they got to be making more, right? It's already been made, kid. Like it's like, and yeah. I remember other people saying, "No, I saw videos, I saw VHSs and Suncoast Video that like continues on." I'm like, "Bull crap, bull. That's not real." That's not, and it totally was. They were there.
Well, I mean, but like, that was what was so crazy because you know, watching this through with Henry when I have access to mm-hmm. everything,
yeah, yeah, right.
You know, we're just like plowing through this show,
yeah.
And
stuff
you know,
that took us years.
And
to
I
get
told
through.
You know, and I told Henry, I was like, this is what you need to understand.
Yeah, one. All right, look, listen.
I started watching this show when I was 12 years old. You know, when I got to the Boo Saga, when I was 23.
This is how it was released.
You understand?
You know how many times I've seen Jason Berger fly around Goku? 30. Because that's how many times they had to rotate the show.
I was so hyped to finally see that.
I know.
And then he wipes him in like a second. And I was
I know.
Like, I just want to flip a table. I was so angry. Because Jason Berger were my favorite ones. They were the coolest looking too.
And that was such a cool, like, when they were right? Just like, when they're doing that blue and
yeah.
Gold, like,
yeah,
oh my gosh! And then it was just like it finally happened. Oh, really?
Yeah,
just, really.
It's,
this
it's
is
to
what
show
I,
you how
this
I just want to
build
up.
I've been waiting a decade
just
for this, and
up,
this
yeah.
Is what it is.
But I was still just kind of hyped to see more Dragon Ball too.
I mean, to be fair, also that happens a lot in Dragon
it
Ball.
It does. It happens.
Goku's
all the time
empty
in
stomach
Ball.
Gets beat yeah. Up by Tao Pai Pai. He eats a bunch of food. Now he can beat up Tao Pai Pai.
Here's the other thing: we did get to see Tao Pai Pai actually do stuff, though.
I mean,
we never got to see Jason Berger ever do anything
because
Raccoon. Because Raccoon. Had to take up all the style.
That's true.
Yeah, that's true.
And I hated Raccoon. I wanted Raccoon to take up.
Oh, Raccoon Boom, guys.
Oh, man.
Come
when
on. He's just a big
Raccoon Boom.
He's just a big
when Goku fella. Elbows him through the chest, it's one of my favorite moments in all of Dragon Ball.
When he
just gets
when the camera
gets
like
chumped.
Shakes on the
I was just like, yes! Take this guy out. I hated him so much.
But he
much.
Did the same thing to Nappa. Mm, like,
yeah.
It was just like
well,
the
yeah,
same
that,
thing.
That's what you wanted. You wanted to see that happen. But again, you got to see Nappa do stuff.
He said, I saw an opening that said seemed to scream attack.
Yeah, right.
So I did.
I did. So I did.
Meanwhile, he's like...
Yeah, slumped. Yeah, classic stuff.
Oh my goodness!
But yeah, we watched this again. We watched this for a long time, and then I had a resurgence when it got started playing on Cartoon Network,
mm-hmm.
and like all these kids in high school started watching Dragon Ball Z,
yeah.
And I'm just like, yeah, you like that show?
Yeah,
and we just start chat like guys that
I
like
said before,
like
it was cool,
like guys I would probably never talk to in
I
high
know.
School
yeah.
and
yep.
stuff like that, but just boom, we talk Dragon Ball, we just talk about Dragon Ball, and just like. And it was the best, man. It was awesome. So like just cliques of people that wouldn't normally talk about stuff. Jocks over here and nerds over here. It's like, but Dragon Ball was like, yeah, man, you watch Dragon Ball? Dude, when Captain Ginyu switched places with Goku, oh my God, you know, we were like freaking out. You know, yeah. I was like, I've never seen that before.
We didn't really have that.
Yeah.
There weren't really jocks that were into Dragon Ball.
We didn't have that either.
We had the five or six guys who liked all the nerdy stuff. Mm-hmm. And that was pretty much the people that hung out and talked about all that.
Yeah.
Pokemon, Dragon Ball, you know, stuff like that. So
Like not to like say I know about black culture or anything, but like there was like, I was at predominantly black school, and like most everybody watched that show, and like I hung out with all the kids, and like, and we talked about it, like,
so
all the
like
time,
obviously, so. You know, black people are very assimilated in American culture. It's
silly because like they're different people, obviously. Well, you know,
the wild thing about the Dragon Ball Z phenomenon to me is it's like explosion in Mexican culture.
Yeah, oh yeah, it's true. It's
there
true.
Like, is lot, restaurants lot. And.
In Mexico
that have Super Saiyan Goku on the side of it in an apron making tamales
as
or something like that.
There was
I saw on Instagram one time.
I didn't know this.
There was a guy who opened up a restaurant and he did it as super, like he was dressed as Super Saiyan Goku in the grill, grilling up things,
grilling up stuff
as Super Saiyan. Like it's
I mean, why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
It's incredible how fixated some of the Mexican kids are on this type of anime.
When Dragon Ball Super finished off at episode 131, where one of the greatest battles ever animated to... I'm sorry, like it's one of my favorite of all time is 17 Frieza Goku versus Jiren.
Sure, it's amazing.
It's one of my favorite things ever.
Multibella.
In South America, in like, I don't know what country it was, but like there's South America, just a giant like theater projector of this episode. And everyone, like it's like an arena of people just like screaming.
Where
for
is
this
that
episode.
In America?
I mean, it does exist around here.
No, it doesn't. We don't have those things. Here,
we
don't have those things here in Kentucky to that scale.
Well,
but they,
to
like,
be fair,
LA premieres that
LA
they're
premieres
doing for
doing,
like you know
Kentucky leaders.
I
shame on you.
Shame.
I will say that I do know that episode did garner a lot of like bars and stuff to like have like parties for the finale. Yeah. That did happen here.
Okay.
But and I know that some of the like
you didn't tell me about
I didn't go to any of them, but
you
I'm just saying
an invitation.
But I know that kaijus did it. I know that a lot of people did it.
Okay,
so you know it's like that does happen. Again, it's not an arena full of people watching a projector, but you know, because that's like crazy. You wouldn't even think
well,
that.
I mean,
but like let's go to the waterfront and do that next time, guys. Yeah. Like next
well, I mean,
sure.
but that's
like,
what that was. It was a Super Bowl amount of people.
It was crazy amount
in like, one area watching an episode of Dragon Ball.
Yeah, it was nuts.
You guys do know though that when Akira Toriyama did pass away, there was a memorial in Zocalo, Mexico.
Oh yeah,
and everybody at this memorial did a spirit bomb. Like they were all
hands
up.
Yeah,
that's
cool,
so like we don't. Like I said, there's a. They're on a different level.
We were talking about that before the podcast started. Like. I don't think it broke in America until after a week.
Yeah, it was a week. Yeah, it was a week.
And I don't know how something like that goes that long.
I know,
it didn't break in Japan either. They didn't. They literally kept that very secret.
That's crazy. Like, the thing that you sent me, John, it did say that you know we would like to not have any memorial services. Mm-hmm. We want to keep this, you know, just the family. So obviously, I'm sure it came as a shock to them because. It was, we just said it before the podcast, but what was it that he passed?
Subdermal.
March 1st.
Yeah. And so, like, that's something that's kind of hard. It can just sneak up on you and whatnot. Yeah. So, 100%. I'm sure they were trying to keep it quiet and whatnot, but it's just, it was wild to see that. There's a video of a bunch of people in Mexico just, they're like, give the energy, and they're all just putting their hands up in the air, and it's wild.
That's cool.
And, you know, again, Dragon Ball Dragon Ball Z lasted for a while, and then he kind of, you know, put it up. And
but he said he was done.
He said
I told my story.
Told my story. And then GT, which was pitched, this was not based on any of his work.
He didn't have anything to do with GT, did he?
He had absolutely nothing to do with GT, but he signed off on it. He said, sounds cool.
Yeah,
like, have fun. His one requirement was like, make Goku a kid. Like that's what he wanted. He wanted to have Goku be a kid.
He's stuck on that idea.
He likes Goku being a child. Even and stuff that like
new
that. One.
What's so. That new
Daima.
We'll get to Daima. But he's a kid in that as well. But that was like his one little requirement was like, yeah, just like I would like to see that happen. So they did that, and it was supposed to be about Pan. But then, like, again, it he was correct. Like, people just for some reason didn't resonate unless Goku's there. It's not his fault.
I don't want to crap on Akira Toriyama.
No, you're not.
That's not the podcast. We didn't get on to Gohan.
Yeah,
was because the way Gohan was portrayed at the beginning. Well, of that season.
I don't know. I kind of like how he is at the beginning of that season. The beginning of Buu Saga.
Are you talking about
Saiyan Man?
Yeah.
No, I'm talking about Great Saiyan Man.
Saiyan Man
was
great. Weak.
Ew,
that's awesome. Yeah, it's great. No, Saiyan Man's awesome. Stop. No, it's awesome. It's great. It's great.
You're just playing the opposite side.
I like just being
a contrarian.
I like Great Saiyan Man. I think it's fun because I think Toriyama likes fun things, and I like fun things.
I was gonna say like as much as I do find it a little cringy, the Great Saiyan Man, it is definitely on par with the Dragon Ball type of humor, because that's what all it was. It was really just comedic relief.
Yeah,
we just had.
I get that.
A big monumental, but, you know,
and it's universal. Like Brandon says, Toriyama having fun in his own world, right? And I get that, but you can't go from Super Saiyan to Gohan,
right?
Blowing up Cell with the ghost of Goku behind him.
You can't have some levity before the demons show up.
I'm just gonna put on the helmet and be a superhero.
Here's
now.
The thing: there's the first moment in Dragon Ball Z that hit that note for me that was like, whoa, is when Gohan busts out of the Saiyan ship.
Yeah.
In the Raditz saga.
That is a great moment.
Gohan grenade, and he busts out of that thing.
Fastball special
and
here.
Because they showed it from like six different angles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And all he does is that headbutt, and that's it. Yeah. And that's fine.
Little homage to his dad.
Yeah. And he did that against Raditz. He did it against Frieza.
Mm-hmm.
And he did it against...
Did he hit Nappa?
Cell.
Did he hit Nappa with it?
No, because he freaked out and Piccolo stepped in front of him.
And then
Goku was there.
And that was that. For sure.
He learned it from his dad.
But that's the thing. Yeah. Like, I felt like they were building a stepping stone for Gohan to be the main character of the show.
I mean, that is what they were doing, yes.
Yeah.
I know that's what they were doing. But then you can't go from B.A., Super Saiyan 2 Gohan to
Saiyan Man,
taking a bike to school.
I kind of got to disagree with you in a little bit because of the fact that Goku is very much okay. So Gohan is the first civilized part of society because Goku is wild child.
Yeah, he's sure.
Grown up in the mountains, never really saw it. Like Chi Chi brought him into the real world, so to speak. And Gohan has this. More of a like modern day society feel to it all, but he's still this carefree, this very joyous, very very
childlike.
In his demeanor and a lot of things.
Yeah, but he's also smart. He's not like an idiot.
He's very very intelligent.
Are you with me on this?
I'm not. I don't know who I'm with.
I don't like Gohan, guys.
Steven, you need to make a decision.
Like,
yes.
No, I know. But you
can't tell me that like when we're talking about Great Saiyan Man Gohan,
right?
And post. Elder Kai training Gohan.
Yes.
And which one is better?
Yes, but here's my argument. But here's my argument. What's the coolest part about Gohan getting to that point? It's the growing to that part. That's what he was creating. He was doing another growth situation to that point.
But then they did it again in Super.
He turned into a booger. Don't get me wrong.
And then he had to get built up back up.
Don't get me wrong, John.
And now he's BA.
Don't get me wrong, John. The Buu Saga has many problems, okay?
Right.
Do not get me wrong on that. But I don't think Saiyan Man's one of them. I disagree. I think introducing a lightheartedness before the demons show up is something you need to do. Because we just had
wizards and
we just had Cell. We can't just go like, oh, Frieza 3's back. You know, like, can't do that. Like, what are you doing? No, like, we can't do that. So, and honestly, if you want a real sequel to Cell Saga, watch the BoJack movie. That's 100% the best sequel to the Cell Saga.
I mean, it technically does take place after.
BoJack movie is underrated movie. That's like one of my favorite movies of the whole thing. Because it's straight up just Gohan being awesome.
That's why in GT, when all of the bad guys come out of hell,
yeah,
BoJack is the first person.
That's true. BoJack pops up there. That's right.
He's the first person you see.
Yeah. It's the only good saga in GT is Super 17. I absolutely love Super 17.
Yeah, 100%.
It's fantastic. All the rest are kind of lame. It's like,
I mean, Shenron's pretty dope.
Yeah, Omega Shenron's fine. It's fine.
He's really hard to beat in Budokai.
But as that was going on, Toriyama was experiencing a lot of other stuff too. He was like trying to try stuff. There were some other manga that he released. There was one named Kawa, which I've never
heard of.
Kajiki, which looked interesting enough.
That's almost as fun to say as Dadon Dadon.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But then there was one that got very recently got a TV special and is going to have another, like, I think a 6-episode series or something. Sandland. So Sandland is very interesting.
I've heard of Sandland. That's the one that he released just like last 6 months, right?
Yeah, yeah. But this was created in 2000. But again, he had other things going on. Who's gonna pick it up? That's the only thing, because this wasn't a long thing. It was like a very short, like it was like one volume.
It's like a tank anime, a tank manga.
It's like out in the desert, and like everybody rides a tank. Everybody's got like a tank thing or whatever. It's Mad Max. Yeah, essentially. Yeah. So he made this thing, and he made this pitch, and was just like, oh yeah, I think I'm gonna do this Sandland thing where like they ride these tanks around and blah, blah, blah. And they were like, that sounds great. Do that, Akira Toriyama, creator of Dragon Ball.
You're the guy.
It's like, of course, we would love to do this. And then he got the publication rights to do it. He's like, okay, I'm going to start doing this Shonen Jump. And then he remembered he hated drawing tanks.
Oh my gosh. Are you kidding me?
He didn't like drawing tanks.
So he forgets stuff all the time.
He's a quirky dude, man. Every time he says something in an interview, it's fantastic. It's so fun. He doesn't really like anime. That's another thing that he said in something. He's like, yeah, I don't really like anime that much. I don't really watch much of it. It's just like, you have the most influential anime in existence.
He knows the story.
I wrote it.
When he did the art for, now granted, this was very early Dragon Quest, so not a whole lot of people knew what an RPG was. He didn't know what an RPG was when they asked him to do the art for Dragon Quest. It was just like, I don't know what that is.
Just draw characters.
Like, I have no idea what an RPG is. And then he played the game and was like, that was awesome. And he's played every single one since.
Until you said that, I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. He's also done every single... I thought other people had done it in his style. He has done the character designs for every Dragon Quest up until
he has nothing to do with the game other than just designing
the characters. They say, here's our characters. This is the main character. Design. He designs them.
That's so cool.
That's what it is. So yeah.
But to be able to you have created such an influential visual style.
Yes.
It's so recognizable now.
Yeah.
That we just want you to integrate that into our story.
Right. Yeah.
And then we're going to sell it. We're going to sell it because it looks like Dragon Ball Z. Dragon Ball.
Whatever. Right, exactly. And we have the experience of Dragon Ball and everything, like, as, you know, being in America and how that influenced all the stuff over here. Dragon Quest is like the biggest game over there. We don't have that over here. We had Dragon Warriors 1-3. It was named Dragon Warrior. Had different art. Like, you know, I didn't even know that.
I thought it was just Dragon Quest.
Yeah, and it became Dragon Quest when PlayStation took it up. I think at 6, Dragon Quest 6.
Oh, okay.
They brought that over, and it was Dragon Quest from then on. Because they just had it.
It's like Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah, exactly. Or Final Fantasy 7.
We were 6 games in.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And, 6 games in, and they brought it in.
It was game 1.
Yeah, we did get 1, 2, and 3, but then we don't get 4, 5, and 6. So anyway, but PlayStation picks it up, and it's like, and it became the Dragon Quest. But again, it never hit that level. It's they literally shut work down to when, on launch day for Dragon Quests because no one shows up to work. They go and they pick up the freaking game. Hmm. It's like the biggest selling game in Japan.
That's insane.
Dragon Quest is huge over there. The little slime.
That's like
the little, the little slime is a huge mascot. You can't go anywhere in Japan without seeing a slime somewhere. Like, everybody loves that little goofy smiling slime.
So what you're telling me is that you don't ever want to go to Japan because it's horrific.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Traumatized.
I'll be behind the couch the whole time. I don't know what's happening. All these slimes are... I think they're cute now. It's just as a kid, with that music, was just like, oh, God. I will play you the music.
Too much.
It's too much. Can't do it. I don't know what's happening. And plus, it's like right in your face because it's like, you know, it's an RPG. So like, you hit the random encounter. So then all of a sudden, it's like... it's like, oh, what's happening? Oh, no. Like, I'm being attacked. I got to get behind this couch.
Dragon Quest. Warrior there is...
Quest.
Final, well, yeah, Quest is there. Final Fantasy for us.
Oh, yeah, 100%. And again, we didn't like Final Fantasy was a success. Final Fantasy VII is when it became like, oh,
yeah, that's now it's really a thing. Yeah. Yeah.
Which is funny because we got Final Fantasy 1, 2, and 3, and then 7 all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. So we're like, what happened to 4, 5, and 6? No. What happened to 2, 3, and 5?
Exactly.
Completely different. Yeah. So it's totally different over there. But yeah, it's just that weird little translation. Because again, Dragon Ball Z is not a thing over in Japan. It's just Dragon Ball. Like, the Z is a thing we added. So
Super over there is still just Dragon
Super
Ball?
Super is different.
Yeah, Super is its own.
Super is Dragon Ball is. Super, yes, in both, yeah.
Did they get GT?
Yeah. They did get GT as well, and they called it GT. Yeah, so, oh, okay. Yeah. They called it GT, but Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z... No difference. That's just Dragon Ball all the way through. We got Z because
kind of like how Naruto is just Naruto all the way through, but on the anime it's Shippuden. But in the manga it's just Naruto.
It's just Naruto.
Shippuden is so much better. Than Naruto.
I like Naruto a lot. But anyway,
like Shippuden.
I've been enjoying Shippuden.
Yes.
I've been enjoying Shippuden. I just need to finish it. And then I need to get on Dry, and then I get on One Piece. There was a resurgence of Akira Toriyama stuff. He decided to come back to Dragon Ball. Does anybody know why he decided to come back?
I think
people crap on GT so much.
I
know exactly why.
Yes,
because somebody else was working on Super, and he wasn't like
not quite.
Okay,
not quite. They were going to do Super, yes, and he probably wasn't going to come back to it. Like that was a whole thing. They were pitching ideas for Super. They were like workshopping it. It was a while. Like it was like who's going to do this? Blah blah blah. You know, it was like. But then
everyone, it's the thing that scarred. It's what happened with Avatar, you guys. Okay,
Ball Evolution came out, and Akira Toriyama said,
"Nope,
that will not be my legacy." And he came back to his property to make Dragon Ball Super.
Let me tell you my story about that movie.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
So,
because it sucks. And here's the thing. Like, I am usually like, oh, I'll give things a shot. Or like, I won't crap on things that as much as most people will for certain things. And I'll give certain things like, oh, what were they trying to do here? What was the idea? That movie sucks. The movie's awful. I've never even seen it. It's so bad.
Yeah, you're better off.
Yeah, it sounds
garbage.
Like it.
So,
go ahead.
So when that movie got announced, I absolutely...
I quit my job.
I went and sat outside the theater.
I just owned my parents.
I spiraled into depression.
Like, John, you don't have to do all this. Like, no, I'm devoted.
I killed street animals for sustenance. Food. You know,
I couldn't give up my spot in line.
And then the movie came out was right by my birthday, and that was what I did on my birthday every year was go see movies.
Yeah, yeah.
Multiple movies on that day.
Well, sneak from theater to theater. I know.
Before I saw it, I watched a YouTube video reaction. And it was a young fella. He was probably my age, maybe younger. Mm-hmm. And you could tell my guy was...
Not having it.
A Dragon Ball fan by everything he had up on his walls behind him. Mm-hmm. And he... lost his mind. And for like 8 minutes, this dude craps on this movie.
As he should.
As he should. And I was so disappointed, and I was so upset, and I thought, you know what? I'm still going to see it because I need...
I'm not going to let him tear me down like that.
No. I was like, even if this guy craps on it, I need to...
see it for my own
I got to... I've got to support this. Mm-hmm. I got to be able to get good out fan. There and, you know, give money to this so that we can get something good.
Get more, yeah.
So I quit my job.
Oh, my gosh. I'm glad I didn't actually quit my job.
It's so bad.
It is.
It's awful.
One of the most god awful creations. I
just want to watch it just to see how bad.
No, you don't.
I've got it on DVD.
Like, honestly, like every character in this
is wrong.
Atrocity.
Yeah, it's wrong. Every is character
portrayed
wrong.
Incorrectly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They couldn't even give Yamcha a cat named Poir. Like that couldn't be a thing. It's just so bad.
You know what's great about it?
Yeah.
It inspired Toriyama.
It did.
Yeah,
it
that's
did.
The only good thing.
Well,
from
so
it.
Bad.
You want a silver lining.
I mean, but what was the crowning factor that was just like, I'm done. And I walked out.
Yeah.
I walked out while this happened.
Yeah.
When he did the Kamehameha.
Oh, that's when you lasted that long?
I did. Right. I did get that long.
Congratulations.
I did get that long. When he did the Kamehameha, he was actually, instead of it being like an energy blast going out.
Yeah.
It was him going in.
Yeah. It was weird. It's
it
very
was really
weird,
weird.
It's real weird looking. He's not. He like jumps up with it.
He
and
jumps
like,
up I, with it like it stays in his hand.
It's
and
so.
And
I mean,
it goes
it's like a
Rasengan.
It's like a Rasengan.
No,
Rasengan.
No.
Not like a beam.
Not like a in your face Kamehameha.
Yeah.
Like it's like this. It's like a hit. Like I'm hitting you.
Yeah.
With this energy ball that's in my hand.
He's not shooting anything. Yeah. It's dumb. It's real. It's real.
I was gonna say like Goku will do. Like charge it up, like when he was fighting what's her name?
Yep,
Khalifa.
Khalifa.
Which
jumps
is,
over hers. And
by the way,
it's
one
amazing.
Of the most top banging things I've ever seen.
It's fantastic.
But he's sitting there holding on that Kamehameha. Yeah.
Don't
you know,
dare,
around.
But not
I'm just
compare
saying he
that.
Does, but he does.
But it's not that
eventually. So,
but it's not that. Not that at all.
And I was like, done. At that point, I was like, I'm out.
Yeah.
Ben Rowe says, one of my fondest childhood memories is sitting on the carpet in my grandparents' living room watching Dragon Ball Z.
Oh, that's cool.
I can see it right now in front of my eyes at this very moment. The carpeting, the bookshelf, the windows looking down the street. And I watched in a cartoon, there was a boy my age that was told, you are gentle. You do not like to hurt people. As a gentle little 10-year-old in the 90s, you weren't often told that that was okay. That was an okay way to be. But here was a heroic character on screen telling me that. But he also explains it is not a sin to fight for the right cause. This is, of course, when Gohan is about to go off. Mm-hmm. The young boy is told to let go, and that was okay to use his anger to push for something good in the world. I knew those feelings all too well. And honestly felt like it was talking directly to me. And no matter what else I watched in my lifetime, I'll never forget watching that for the first time. I know for a fact that I'm not the only person who feels so deeply about this series. I know that men and women today who hold Dragon Ball Z in the highest regard. I often say that I didn't have Superman, but I had Goku. And the lesson that no matter how low and tired you are, you get back up again and again and again. Even if you die, you grab your halo and you run along Snake Way until you're back in the fight. I hope you're making your way back to us now, Toriyama, and thank you for everything.
Great
that's
awesome.
Response from
Ben.
Yeah,
that's
Absolutely
really cool.
Love that one.
Very cool.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Now he was doing Dragon Ball Super at the time. He wasn't drawing the manga, obviously.
Sure.
He went to his understudy. But he was consulted in all the directions that were going and things like that. He had consulting work during Dragon Ball Broly. He still loved working on this property, which I, you know, it's like, which is great. Again, it's old as me. It's 40 years old.
Yeah.
It's 40 years old. Oh God, I'm 40. it's 40 years old, this property, you know, it's like, and he still loves working on it. And we are going to be getting one more Akira Toriyama influenced Dragon Ball series. And I just want to read this little thing, by Akira Toriyama, this little letter that he wrote. I am not going to sit here and pretend that I was super hyped for Dragon Ball Daima. I'm not. I've told it on this thing that I was super disappointed with what was coming out. And then I read this thing. Hello, I'm Akira Toriyama. I'm currently working on a new Dragon Ball. The title is Dragon Ball Daima. Daima is a made-up term, which in Japanese characters would be Dai and Ma, or in English it would translate something to evil. Due to a conspiracy, Goku and his friends are turned small. In order to fix things, they'll have to head off to a new world. It's a grand adventure with intense action in an unknown, mysterious world, since Goku has to make up for it for his petite size by using his Niobo,
Powerful.
To fight something he has not done in a long time. Very true. I think Dead Zone was the last time he used the Power Pole. One of my favorite Dragon Ball movies. I came up with the story and settings, as well as a lot of the designs. I'm actually putting a lot more into this than usual. Things will unfold that close into the mysteries of the Dragon Ball world. I hope you all enjoy these different from usual battles that are cute and powerful. Signed, Akira Toriyama. I was not excited for this show. I'm still not going to say that it's like what I wanted from the property, because obviously like there's things in the manga that I would love to see adapted and like a new season of Super and things like that. But reading this from a guy who has now passed on, that wanted to make something, I'm absolutely going to check the show out with a different tune. Like, this is something he wanted to make, and he's no longer here, and I really just want to see it. I want to check out what he wanted to do, you know what I mean?
Well,
which is why I defend Saiyaman. I don't defend Buu Saga a lot,
Dragon Ball.
Right.
And I'm really seeing that now, going back through and rewatching a lot of the episodes. Dragon Ball is really a series of adventures of the main characters, which is Goku. But
Goku.
It's not just a power up anime, which is, as much as I do love Super and all this Ultra Instinct and all this stuff, it really is just about like what's the next plateau to hit.
Right.
Whereas Dragon Ball was about what's the next adventure, what's the next sunset we're going to be walking off into, type of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, like, when Diamond wasn't introduced, first released or talked about, I was like, all right, this is going to be a GT clone or something like that. You know, I didn't think it was going to be anything halfway decent. But after I had read that statement that you had just read before, and I'm very interested in. First off, it's basically just going to be Dragon Ball with better anime, but.
Right.
There is going to be
And Vegeta.
Child Vegeta as well.
It sounds like they're all going to be kids.
Yes.
Or at least the main Z fighters.
The main characters are.
I can see Yamcha not being a kid or something like that.
Yamcha ain't showing up for anything.
I'm just saying.
He's playing baseball. You know? He's fine.
Like Krillin, he's already the size of a kid, so I guess he doesn't need to be turned into a kid. But this, it does seem like you said he's going to be using his Niobe more because he's not as powerful. So it's just going to be. It sounds like it's going to be a real fun anime to get into.
I'm going to look at it through different eyes than what I was before. I was not convinced by this. I was not excited for it. And again, I'm not saying it's going to be like the most amazing thing or what I wanted. But I'm definitely going to watch the thing that like here's the guy who created the thing that I love. And he worked on this more so than Dragon Ball Super. So it's like, as much as I love Dragon Ball Super and all the homages it is to like what we were, like, again, like that's, I love Dragon Ball Super for the fact that it's just literally fan service to all fans.
Like
Frieza and Goku versus Jiren is just like fanboyism all over, and it's wonderful. But just seeing something that he wanted to work on, that he wanted to do, that he kind of wanted to like maybe take this GT idea and run with it and do something new with it or something different, I'm gonna look at it differently, and I'm gonna like give it more of a chance than I probably was before. I was just screaming at the top, they're babies, why are you giving us Muppet babies? And I'm gonna bury that down. I'm gonna bury that down, and I'm gonna be like, I'm gonna give this a shot because this is something he wanted to make, and he's no longer with us. So like, that's something to appreciate, I think. You know, like, there's something a little more there now for me. So
I might
suck. I don't know. Like I don't like Buu Saga that much. So it's like he was involved in that.
I'm gonna try not to blame this. New series as the reason he died, because he put so much more work into it.
Hey,
there is some legitimacy to that. It's true.
You're not wrong. Like
there are moments when I see some of these creators and animators like really grinding themselves out. And I'm like,
Oh my gosh, slow down. Please stop. I don't want to put that out there because again, he said he put a lot of work into it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's definitely not doing a manga because like workload.
That's totally
Again, that's a valid concern given the manga industry.
Yeah,
I don't want to put that out there.
I think that he's bigger than that, so yeah. I don't think that's the concept.
68.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, he's up there in age. He's still doing manga. I mean, I know he's not doing it as regularly, but
I guess for me, it's just like, you know, like I said before we started the podcast, like for me, ultimately, this man was probably my first intro into fanboyism, and his death like hit me like Stan Lee, Chris Farley,
Robin Williams,
you know, Kobe Bryant for me,
Conroy,
Kevin Conroy, we talked about that. Yeah. Like this was one of those deaths that like I almost lost somebody that I knew.
Yeah.
And that it was somebody that I was a friend with.
Yeah.
Even though I have never even seen this person in real life.
Yeah, we've never met the guy before.
I had made the comment like part of our childhood died.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. I mean and I think that that gets thrown out a lot.
Yeah.
But in this situation for me personally, like it hit me hard like when I heard that I reacted to it the same way you did.
Yeah.
I needed to verify it almost immediately.
I had to be sure.
And I mean, as soon as I saw, you know, like his home pages, you know, tweeting the same thing and sharing the same thing that I saw, I was like, oh my gosh, like this is unreal.
Yeah.
Surreal.
Yeah.
Because I mean, especially at his age, you know, that's kind of young.
It's not super old.
For today's standards.
Japanese people tend to live.
They live longer.
They get up there.
Yeah.
But to be fair, very mangaka don't, but
exactly. And that was the other thing about it, they worked themselves to death. And I can't say enough for this man and what he's brought into the world. You know, he was the first anime character that really transcended American animation and culture.
Yes.
You know, when you see things like Goku balloons in the Macy's Day Parade, you know, and things like that. When you cross that threshold, you know, that's big time.
Absolutely.
Like I can name characters in Dragon Ball Z, and my parents know who they are.
Yeah.
And they've never watched a Dragon Ball Z episode in their lives.
Yeah. My mom has never watched Dragon Ball Z,
but they know who Goku is. You know, and when I told them today what I was doing tonight, they were like, "Oh, that was the guy that did Dragon Ball, right?" And I'm like, "Yeah, it is." And you know, and they don't know anything about it. Like that's how big he.
Getting the threshold that he
compared him to Superman earlier, and that's very on the nose. Like in the 1930s, we'll say that when Superman first came out, like it was definitely a teenage thing or young adult that people loved. But the older crowd, let's say 1950s, you know, those teenagers are now in their 20s and 30s.
Yep.
But even the 60, 70 year old people, they're like, "Yeah, I know who Superman is. I see that image all over the place."
Yeah.
Like, it's a worldwide phenomenon, and Goku is. He's Japan's Superman. I mean, 100%. Recognizable across every single continent.
Absolutely.
Shall we do Superman versus Goku as a finale?
It's Goku, but whatever. Yeah, we can try.
It's Superman, I mean, but it's fine.
No, it's Goku. Stop it. Goku literally destroys planets.
Superman
doesn't destroy planets just because.
Goku, the planet destroyer thing isn't a measure because Superman can absolutely destroy planets.
Sure.
So that is my favorite measure whenever people are like, "Well, could this character fight this character?" It's like, "Well, can that character blow up a planet in one shot?" Then no. That's your answer. Like Goku can blow up a planet in one shot. Like that's it.
Well, then I guess the question is who's cooler.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yes.
It's Goku.
Goku's way cooler.
I mean, Goku is cooler. Yes.
I mean,
I love Superman. I mean, I'm a Superman fan.
That moment when he takes off his weighted
fantastic
stuff. And all it's fantastic. That.
To fight, I mean, it, anybody.
It is done better in like other anime. It's like several other ones. It's done better. Like
Blue Eye Samurai.
Like Blue Eye Samurai. It's done better in Blue Eye.
Or Naruto. Or Naruto. But at
Naruto's
the, same time,
the best one.
Well, but at the same time, man, yes. That's, it started there. I mean, it didn't start with Dragon Ball, but like the whole like, get serious.
But
time I saw it, at least.
But the weighted training was all the way back with the first time he trained with Master him and
I know,
Krillin with
the turtle
Master,
shell.
The turtle shell. Yeah. Shell.
All the way back then. Yeah. That was the weighted training.
It's like
50
kilograms or something.
And
like that.
And then he goes to the gravity chamber.
Yeah.
After
it's always weight. It's always like perseverance. Like that's it's a theme.
Either that or like. Well, I guess this really happened more in Dragon Ball, but I was going to like eating a senzu bean or drinking the sacred water. Like, how he powered up.
He
but
always had
Z,
like cheats.
No.
Yeah,
he always
Z,
had cheats
it's always
Dragon
like,
Ball.
I'm just going to get in the gravity chamber and do
that's what Vegeta did for like 4 years.
I'm going to go in the time chamber and just, mess up. It's like, even more recently, I don't know if there's a manga spoiler. Should we give manga spoilers? I don't know.
Yes.
Why not?
If you've made it this far, listeners.
I'm not going to spoil too much, but like Black Frieza shows up.
Oh, yeah.
He found a dimension where time moves slower and he just trained for 4 years and came back in like 3 days.
Who'd have thought how strong Frieza would be if he actually trained?
That's my favorite thing about Golden Frieza is just like, I went and trained for like a month and now I'm like on the
but that's,
level
but that's
everyone.
What's so great is that's what's
he's
so great
never
about,
had to train in his life
and that's what's so great about him in the Namek saga
he never
a day in his life and he was that strong
wiping the floor
he was
with
born
everyone.
With it he's born powerful that's it he's born so powerful he had to have forms to condense his power so he didn't like blow stuff up all
Lord
the time
mercy.
It's good stuff man what a great career this guy had. A great life, so much
impact.
Because not only is Dragon Ball impactful for everybody, the things that came out of Dragon Ball, like everything was Naruto is directly influenced
One
by that.
Piece.
Well, that was one of my favorite things that kind of came out of the news of his passing.
Right.
Was all these other creators sharing images that he had drawn of their characters, like images they had drawn of their
characters. Yeah.
Like, that was really, really cool.
It was very
cool.
Seeing
all those,
and seeing all those people, how he touched them in their work and it inspired what they could do in their stuff.
But that's what it is, though. Like, I mean, he's a trailblazer.
Yeah.
I mean,
like,
we wouldn't have the big three if it wasn't for Dragon Ball.
Yeah.
And we wouldn't have things that we have now.
Yeah, like we wouldn't have
JJK
Jujutsu Kaisen
and
My Hero.
And like the next generation of great animes.
Because they were inspired. They were inspired by those, and then that
but
branched out.
But I mean, even like you even go outside the realm of anime, and we talk about like Blue Eye Samurai, that moment when she dropped
the weights. Yeah, that's a Dragon Ball moment,
and it was like, now
I know what that
getting
means.
Real because we know what that means.
It's so good. And it just like again, it just like so many of those things that he and again those were tropes before he did anything, obviously. But
he
just
didn't,
the way
but
that
they
he,
weren't big until well, he did it.
Right. Again, like it there was a lot of influence that came from it.
Yeah.
Like, again, it's just like the way that that's an old martial arts trick. But again, it just the idea of that coming over to the West probably came from from that idea. It's like when they're about to fight Raditz, they're taking off their clothes, and it's like, why are they doing that? Because they're weighted. It's like, now they're all loose and ready to go. So that's the first time I noticed it. So there's plenty of people
and that whole thing goes as far as Resurrection F.
Yeah,
like Piccolo picks off his shoulder pads.
Yeah,
and says, and he like flicks his cape around it and
throws
it at the Frieza Force guys, and like eight of them grab it and like all fall to the ground.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's so simple, and it's still like the coolest thing in the world.
Yeah,
it's
great.
That's
rad.
Good stuff. It's good stuff. But yeah, man, Toriyama, he was one of the best of all time.
You guys saw the little image. I mean, like that little letter that was put out and it had about his passing and how they like to keep their privacy.
Yeah.
And then at the bottom, it had that
little gas mask guy.
Yeah.
What is that?
That's his icon. That's who he is. Whenever he's represented in a manga, that's what he draws.
I've seen that a lot, but what is...
It's just a little mascot.
What is it?
A little mascot that he made of himself. It's his little mascot he makes himself. Just his guy, every mangaka has like a little mascot they make of themselves to put into a
sure,
thing.
Sure, I did see and, that.
Like Togashi's like a little dog. Like Togashi's got a little like dog character.
I saw one
who's
just
stuff.
Like, it's a person, but it's got a fish head pretty
yeah.
much.
Yeah.
I can't remember who that was. But
that's Nami.
Yeah.
I just don't know. I figured it would have been something from a Dr. Slump or a Dragon Ball reference.
It's in that
or,
style, yeah. But it's, again, like the body is Dr. Slump, essentially. But
sure.
But that was what was really cool, because, I mean, like, almost days after that news actually came out,
mm-hmm.
All of these other animators drew things
yeah.
with that character
yeah.
in their style.
Yeah.
You know, like they had that character drinking sake with Whitebeard.
Yeah.
They had that character eating noodles with Naruto.
Yeah.
You know, like things like that. Like all of these guys are it's just really cool to see.
Yeah.
Like the impact that this person had on mm-hmm. all of these people that we just kind of take for granted now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And Toriyama, that he just had like that's what he used whenever he did like the little end letters in like the volumes.
Yeah, no, I would see him at the back of Dragon Ball Z mangas and whatnot. Just,
mm-hmm.
I didn't know if that was from something or he just like, I like a little gas mask robot guy. That's what I'm going to draw myself
I
as.
Think that is who he I is. Think that is.
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah,
yeah. I just didn't know there was like
precisely
some type of,
what it was. It's
just, I just didn't know there was some type of inspiration. Yeah. Like,
I'm all for that.
Here's the thing: that one in particular, that's very that tracksuit reminds me of from Gohan from Resurrection F and all that stuff. You know, so
he's got the turtle.
I'm sure he draws. But like typically, it's just this green cloak, red sash around the waist, and a black hood, and that's all there is to it.
But that's Toriyama. That's just what that is. A lot of manga creators just have those little mascots. You know, Monkey Punch as a monkey, stuff like that. So
makes sense.
Know. Yeah. So there you go.
Interesting.
Yeah, they all just have
kind of like the Gur-Arg.
Gur-Arg.
You know what I'm talking about.
Well, the guy, the little mutant.
Little zombie thing.
Oh.
Mutant Enemy Productions.
Gur-Arg.
I always wanted to see, like.
The little robot with.
I always wanted to see Mutant.
Bad Robot.
I always wanted to see Mutant Enemy versus Bad Robot. Like a giant kaiju battle. And then Bad Robot.
Yeah.
It'd be awesome, yeah. But yeah, J.J. Abrams and Joss Whedon.
And Joss Whedon.
Yeah. So, yeah. But, man, what a storied career, guys. Any final input? Before I head out, I think we've covered everything here.
I'll say that Sandland starts April 26th.
That's right. It is starting. Yeah, the TV series is starting April 26th this year.
If y'all
year.
Want to see another project of his, April 26th, that series comes out.
Yeah, Sandland and Daima, that's the last things we'll ever get from Toriyama, probably. Now, again, I think this will probably jump a lot more things for them. I think there's going to be a lot with it. I think the estate is probably going to be like, yeah, let's green light this and this and this and this.
Yeah.
I think there's going to be a lot more fervor to get some new stuff out. So I think that'll be cool. But,
Another thing I wanted to toss in and kind of call out my little brother.
Yeah.
I don't know if Mitch remembers this.
Oh, yeah.
Because Dragon Ball Z was so like big in our house and we all used to watch and stuff. My youngest brother, Stuart, used to run around with his fists tucked at his hips and bend over and like run like and that was how he would run as a little
kid. He would do the Naruto
because it would be like this
and bend over and run in like Goku.
That's fantastic.
So much fun.
You know what?
So much fun.
I'm gonna end this off with a little thing. What's your favorite Dragon Ball movie? Let's go with that. Favorite Dragon Ball movie? I'll go first. I love me some Dead Zone. Broly is so good. I cannot not say, like, Broly's the best movie. I'm just gonna go ahead and say that. But my favorite will always go back to Dead Zone. Like, because like Dead Zone's like that one that's like it's like where energy blasts were kind of important, like before they became like everybody uses an energy blast. So whenever he brought out the Kamehameha, it was like a big deal.
Yeah.
And like, I love Piccolo and Goku versus Garlic Jr. It's one of my favorite fights. Absolutely love it. So
if we are going to take Broly out of...
You don't have to. Yeah, that could be your favorite. That's perfectly fine.
No.
I just think Broly's like the best one.
We're going to take Broly out of the equation because we're going to go old school.
Okay.
Right. World's Strongest is easily my favorite.
That's a really good one.
Because I love the level fighting where you have
going
to
up
get
a tower
through,
yeah, the tower of enemies,
the
yeah.
different enemies,
that is pretty cool.
And tower they all enemies, have great. Different abilities yeah. and powers.
The big fat guy.
Oh yeah. I love that. I love that so much.
It's great stuff.
And that was there was especially when Toonami first came out. That was a lot of the clips came from Dead Zone and World Strongest.
A lot of the opening theme.
And that was still when they were using Goku's old voice, and he was like, "Bring it on." You know, he has that really high pitched voice.
Yeah.
I really, really like that one. Yep. But oh man,
a lot of the opening theme was Tree of World.
Tree of Might. Yeah,
and World Strongest.
But I love how they brought Roshi. That was the first.
Yes, where you got to see him.
For me, that was the first time because I didn't know Dragon Ball at that point.
Yeah,
that was the first time I got to see
Roshi get a little bit.
No, he didn't even go buff.
Yeah, he just did a little bit.
He got taken out. But it was still like because at the time, Roshi was the world's strongest.
Yeah, we didn't know about Goku.
And so
that's good stuff.
Oh, and Piccolo had the thing on his head.
One of my favorite bits.
So good.
One of my favorite bits of animation is when Goku is doing the backflips, then slips. As he's coming towards the camera. Towards the camera and just goes,
oh my gosh.
He can slip. It's one of my favorites. Steven, what do you got? What's your favorite?
Okay.
Or Mitch, maybe. Maybe go to Mitch.
No, that's cool. Because I think. They're all good.
Yeah, they all.
But
I mean, there's some that aren't great. There's some that aren't great.
Okay, there is Bio Broly.
But there's Bio Broly. Bio Broly's real bad. It's not good. But go ahead.
I always liked the Janemba movie.
Yeah, Janemba's great. Yeah.
Because the animation was better.
Fusion Reborn is great.
You get Super Saiyan 3 Goku, and then you get. Gogeta.
The first appearance of Gogeta.
It's like my favorite.
Yes.
It's like my favorite Dragon Ball Z character.
Right?
Truthfully,
yeah.
I like it. As much as I love Goku,
Gogeta's awesome.
Yeah.
And it was great to get canon Gogeta in Broly. That's
right.
What's so cool about
exactly.
Now we need canon Janemba. That's what we need. And canon PyCon. I love PyCon. PyCon's in that movie.
What do you mean canon PyCon?
Well, he is canon. Yeah, again, it's just sort of like he is canon. You're right. Bring him back. Yeah, bring him back. Yeah, because I get mixed up with what's canon, what's not, because PyCon was in the anime, but he got into that. So
I'm sorry.
That
back.
Yeah, yeah.
My favorite one is the History of Trunks.
Oh, that's a really good one.
History of Trunks movie is undoubtedly my favorite.
That's actually
very good.
One arm Gohan.
Yep.
Super Saiyan against both the androids.
That's a great movie.
I watched that movie I can't even believe I didn't think of it.
That's
first.
A great one.
History of Trunks is the best one.
That's a really good one. That's a great one.
That's a
really good pick. Good pick. Mitch, what do you
got? I mean, that's a solid pick too. I have to. Just to not be the same as anyone else.
Please don't do that.
Because honestly, Tree of Might's an amazing one. World's Strongest, amazing. I mean, but I was always particular about the Lord Slug movie.
Lord Slug's good.
Well, I just
one always falls under the radar.
Not a lot of people know about it.
I just got a good soundtrack too.
It has Disturbed on that.
Yes,
I remember that. I was
my god.
Why Lord Slug?
And it's just like it's a more BA older Piccolo. You know, you get to see all these. The mech, and it's just like, what if Piccolo actually could take over and rule the whole? I mean, technically in Dragon Ball, he did for a little while, This is I don't know,
it's a little bit of a rehash of what that would be, but it's
so
different,
good, though.
Yeah, right.
And the soundtrack was
Slug comeback,
it's good stuff. Good stuff.
Love
that. Love that stuff, man.
Good choices.
Good choices.
I have no beef with any of your decisions.
No Bio Broly was in there.
Nobody going to pick Bio Broly.
No Broly 2. Was Broly...
Broly 2 was good.
Broly 2 was all right.
First
Broly was the best.
What's interesting is I'm not a big fan of the Cooler movie, but I love Mecha Cooler.
Oh, Mecha Cooler.
Mecha Cooler is so good.
Awesome.
I love Mecha Cooler.
Oh my gosh.
Down to that last shot where Vegeta has that chip to become stronger, and he's like,
now
and he crunches do it on your own, man. And then he takes the Majin symbol, but whatever, it's fine. It's a
different
cool moment.
Different
it's a cool story. Moment, and it's a movie. It's not canon, so it doesn't really count. So
that's because he doesn't believe in AI.
I would love to see Cooler become canon because he's only been in the movies.
So it'd be cool
to have him come into the movies. So yeah.
And Dragon Ball Heroes.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, well, yeah. Heroes.
If you're into that, kind of
Heroes is definitely not canon. It's not canon. Yeah,
but it's amazing.
Yes, it is. It is pretty fun. It's a fun little side project. I enjoy it. Yamcha gets to do stuff in that, which is fun. So you know, he gets to do things.
Of course,
everybody gets to do stuff in that show. It's fun. It's a little homage. Guys, thank you for being on. It's been a pleasure. Mitch, John, Steven, always a pleasure to have you on. It's great to have the four of us. We have to do our Star Wars Visions revisit that has revisioned. We need to do a revisioned episode.
A revision of Visions.
There'll be Star Wars Visions 3 before we...
I know, right? Yeah, yeah. Sure. Yeah, we'll do
sure,
season 3.
Sure, that's in the
product. If they're doing a season 3, I don't know what Disney's doing. Yeah. Fools. Yeah. Fools.
Anyway. R.I.P. Akira Toriyama.
Rest in peace, Akira Toriyama. Thank you for
everything you did.
Thank you for all you have done. Thank you, everyone who wrote in. I couldn't get to everybody's. There was just so much that we wanted to talk about. But thanks to everyone who wrote in on my Facebook page. Thank you for all the interactions on my Facebook page recently. I kind of blew up over Facebook over some posts about Jujutsu Kaisen, which has been great. Lots of new listeners and followers and stuff from that. So welcome, everybody. Thank you so much for being on or for joining us there. And thank you for listening to the podcast. Listen to more. We've got new episodes coming out every week, semi every week. We've got stuff coming out about all things animation, anime, and all that stuff. So thank you guys for being on. And this has been the Animation Destination Podcast. You can check us out at animationdestination.com, on Facebook at Animation Destination, and on Instagram at Animation Destination. But that's it for this week. We'll be back next week. Stay tuned.